Welcome to The Writer's Block, a podcast for writers by writers, providing you with a great resource and community. Here are your hosts, Abel, Amber, and Julie.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Writer's Block. Today, we are recording episode 9, Plotting versus Pantsing. Today's moderator is Amber, so the video will be up on her YouTube channel. Amber, why don't you take it away?
Okay, so today I want to talk about, like he said, plotting versus pantsing. I think this is one of the biggest topics when you're a beginner writer that you kind of research and try to figure out what works best for you. But before we get started, we're going to pause for a quick message from one of our sister podcasts.
Hey there, listeners of the Writer's Block podcast. We're Abel, Andrew, and Adam from the Shadowhunters podcast.
If you're a fan of Shadowhunters, come and discuss the show with us every week. And during the hiatus, listen to our original content, including episode rankings, Rip It or Ship It, and character best and worst moments.
And if you haven't heard of Malik, you are truly not living your best life.
Check us out everywhere where podcasts are located. And thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your show.
Okay, welcome back. Let's go ahead and jump into this topic. So I, myself, as you probably know if you've been listening, am a huge pantser. But let's go around the room and let's see how everybody feels and what they are and what they strive to be. Julie?
Hi, my name is Julie and I'm a plotter turned plantser.
Yeah, so I have a problem. That's the first step. The first step is admitting you have a problem, and I have a problem because I am a big time pantser. I'm trying to become a plotter, but it's so difficult.
I don't have a problem. I enjoy being a pantser because I think it just lets me be free. I feel so bogged down by plotting sometimes, but I mean, what do you guys wish that you could write differently than what you found works best for you?
So really quick, I guess, just for anybody who's listening that isn't aware of like the actual terms, do you want to define the terms for them, Amber? And then I'll answer that question.
Sure.
Just so everybody's on the same page.
Sure. So a plotter is somebody that plots out their entire story, writes an outline. You remember back in the day when you were in school and you had to write an outline and turn it in to class for writing? That's basically what you do all the time if you're a plotter. If you're a pantser, it means you write on the seat of your pants. You don't plan anything out. You just jump in and you start writing. If that scares you, you're probably a plotter. So
do I wish that I could do something different than what I do? I think it's so much easier for me personally, being the only one of the three of us that is self-identified as a plotter. I think it's so much easier for me to gradually let go of the reins and become a pantser. I think it's probably a lot harder for you guys to realize that you need to start plotting a little bit more. So for me personally, for when I started my novel, I had already had, not even kidding you, 7 notebooks worth of notes. I had one for plot, I had one for each character, and then I had like one for setting. And I had every single detail, every detail. And then my downfall was like over plotting and then not letting the characters have a voice of their own within the story, or letting them kind of explore on their own. I knew my characters well enough to let them do that, and I was afraid to. So for me, what I'm learning, especially when I started book 2 and now with my new project, I am learning to plot what's important. So I have to know, for me personally, I have to know the characters, and I have to know major plot points, and then I can let go, and I plant, you know, the combo. And I think that's what works best for me. So I don't think I could ever be a full-blown pantser, but I know I'll never go back to being a full-blown plotter either.
All right. So I wish that I could be a full-on plotter. I was saying that I listen to other podcasts and writers that I know. They outline so detailed that their outlines are like 40,000 words, and that's almost my YA novel. You know, YA novel is like 45 to 65,000 words, and I'm like, I wish that I could have so much outline and know exactly what's going to happen. But usually I have an idea for a story, and I know my characters. I'm like, okay, these are who they are, And then I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, let's go on this journey, chapter one. And here we go. Let's see what happens. But at the same time, I do know my overall... I know, like, the overall arc. I know what's happening. I know how I want the book to end. I just don't know all of the details in between. Like, I don't know the minor, like, details, you know. But I know overall this has to happen. I just, you know, I struggle. I pants the hell out of all the meat in between.
Yeah, I do pants, you know, a lot. Like I said, I sometimes will kind of write down major plot points that I want to hit, but sometimes I don't even hit them when I'm writing. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys is there's so many different types of plotting structures or outline structures, however you call it, where they have like snowflake and they have dot and, you know, there's so many different kinds. Do you use a specific type when you do plot, or do you just kind of like write down like on sticky notes or something?
I started off with a snowflake and I went hardcore snowflake. I did like the one line synopsis, the one paragraph, the elevator pitch, you know, like I broke it all down, went full snowflake on the first one, and then realized that was probably like too much. Like I think I'd over detailed it, and then for the second one I didn't do an ounce of real true plotting because I already knew the characters. I knew, you know, where I was going to start and how I needed to end, and then I kind of let myself go in between, and I loved that experience. But I had established characters and an established plot from book one, so it wasn't as intimidating going into it. But that was so much fun. Now for my new project, I am not doing any kind of plotting outside of my regular character mapping, which we've already talked about. So, yeah, the only one I have experience with is the snowflake, which I used the first time.
But you, Abel?
I really don't use anything. Like in Scrivener, I use the character notes, you know, like the notes that you can have. I like those because you can kind of see them in like the note card form whenever it's like on a, you know, like a cork board or whatever. But I really don't use anything special. I just started using StoryShot for my characters for plotting the next book. We talked about that in one of the previous episodes, that it really links all your characters. Like it's like a Wikipedia page, and like all the characters in the book are like in hyperlinks, so anytime it's mentioned, like you can click on that name and it'll tell you everywhere it's mentioned, or how they know every single person, who doesn't know who. So that really helps me a lot. But I really don't use anything other. Like I said, I just started using StoryShop, so that's really helped. And it's only like $9 a month, so it's really affordable. It's like cheaper than Netflix, so it's worth it.
Yeah, that website does sound pretty cool. And that would help a lot with character mapping. What do you think are the pros of plotting over pantsing? So what is the major aspects of plotting that you think is a reason why you should plot?
So for me personally, I think that one of the greatest benefits to plotting, even if it's just loosely plotting, is that you have a framework, you have the bones of your story. And for me, that's really comforting. I want to know that I'm not going to completely lose my way. Even if my characters kind of take over and redirect themselves a little bit, I want to know that I have my major conflicts and resolutions kind of planned and mapped, and then how I get to those places can be a little bit more fluid. I never ever plot my dialogue, so a lot of my character interactions and character growth is going to be organic in the moment pantsing. But I think the strength of plotting is that it's less likely that your story is going to get away from you. It's a little bit less likely that you're going to end up in a situation in your writing where you don't know how to get out of it, or how you got in it, or how your characters can then get to the final act of your book. Like if you know for sure something has to happen and you haven't done any kind of plotting for minor scenes up to that, you can get so lost that you're like, how do I get to this thing that I know has to happen? And now nothing up to that makes sense. So for me, it's important for just like the way my writer brain works, to at least know some structure along the way. And then I can kind of pants up till that point and go like, deep breath, made it here. You know, it's almost like mapping out when you're doing like a marathon, you know, like if I can map out, I know I have to stop at mile 1, mile 3, and mile 6 for a drink, you know, like, and if I don't care how I get there, as long as I get there, or how much time it takes me to get there, as long as I get there. And I know I have those goals set. It helps me with goal setting. It helps me with time management. It just helps me all like in general with the story. For me, that's a huge perk, as opposed to like getting lost somewhere along the way and not knowing how to find my way back.
Yeah, I think that if I was a better plotter, it'd make life easier when you get to, we joked earlier how, you know, 30,000 words into a book and then you're like, oh, this is crap and I don't know what I'm doing. I think that it would help prevent that, backing yourself into corners. I think when you pants, you get into corners a lot and you find yourself having to write your way out of situations or write off characters or write, you know, I feel like I feel like we put extra work on ourselves, and I don't know why I do that. I guess I like to torture myself, but like plotting, like I said, I know what happens. I know what I want my overall story to be. I know what I want to happen at the very end. It's all of the layers in between that I struggle with, and I feel like if I had an outline that I would be able to, even if the outline just said like, I don't know, just small details, just gave me a hint at what the story was going, I feel like I could pants around that. And I hopefully that's the way I can start writing my outlines. But I feel like it is kind of important, especially if you're going to start writing like urban fantasy and where the book count, the word count gets into the hundreds of thousands, and you're no longer at YA at 65,000 words when you get to, you know, 145,000 words and you're in book 3, you've written almost 300,000 words and you're trying to remember what happened 300,000 words ago. That's a problem. So I feel like outlines are good resource materials too, to go back.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, it does help you as long as you have plot points down, to know no matter how you get there, at least you know the way you need to go. But on the opposite side, what do you think is one of the biggest, like, the biggest things that are great about pantsing? Like, how is that great for some writers?
I think that one of the greatest, like, benefits to pantsing is that it can really, really let you surprise yourself. And I think that that's one of the funniest things when you tell people, especially when you're sharing your writing experience, you're like, this just happened. I had no idea this was going to happen. And they're like, how do you not know you're the author? Like, you didn't know that was going to happen? I'm like, no, I had no clue. You get excited by the story as you're telling it. And that translates into your excitement and enthusiasm writing. It translates into excitement, nerves, anxiety for your characters, because you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So that's translating into their emotions too. Like, they're more on edge because you're not 100% certain exactly what's going to happen either. It allows for super, super genuine reactions and interactions within characters, within dialogue, within settings, because it's not 100% scripted. I think that that allows for a very genuine reading experience. It allows for character arc growth that you didn't even know they were going to have. And I think they read so much more real when you allow them room to explore and grow and create, which if you're a true hardcore plotter, you don't usually plan for, because you feel like you have to maintain the structure that you started with. But maintaining a structure that you start with before you even start writing is very limiting for your characters, and it's very limiting for your story. So I think it is, I don't know, I just think it breeds like a truer character arc, story arc, when you allow room for like growth and sway and like reaction and change in your story as you write it.
Yeah, I think pantsing, it does give you a more realistic aspect to your writing. I feel like your dialogue and your character's reaction to things are more real when you're pantsing, because I know when I'm typing in the middle, I'm in the middle of dialogue, and I'll find myself laughing at a character's conversation with each other because I had no idea that was gonna happen. And it seems, and it's so real because I'm laughing at their conversation. And then as I'm typing it, it's like I'm visualizing it in my head. So I see my two characters going back and forth talking, and I'm laughing, and I'm like, I don't think that if I would have plotted this out, it would have came off so real. It would have been very like a bad actor school, you know, it would have been very like, ha ha. like the jokes, I'm like, oh my God. I'm typing, and the other day it was happening to me. I was typing and I started laughing. I'm like, oh, that bitch is so dumb. And like, I said it out loud and I'm laughing and I'm like, this is exactly what I needed, because like when I'm watching TV shows and I'm reading books, and that's like my reaction. I'm that person when I'm reading, I'm like, oh, they're so stupid. They're stupid. I hate them. Or like, what do you mean they're dead? And I'm like flipping through the pages like, no. And like, I'm that person, you know? So when I'm writing it, I feel like when you're pens, or I feel like it just comes off like that. Like, do you find those little gem moments that you're like, oh, like, and especially when you go back to edit it, it makes it even funner, because like you remember writing it. So I think pensing, I think it allows that. Like, it's just like you said, Julie, it gives you a little bit more room to be real. Your characters, I feel like characters come to life in with wild and panting moments. Like, I feel like, you know, that happens.
It definitely happens to me that they come alive while I'm panting. So everybody, and I know you both have read a book that nothing happens. You read a whole book and nothing happens. So do you think that those authors might have benefited from having a more structured plotting, you know, for their book, so that something could happen?
I have to answer really quickly, just because my answer is very short. If nothing is happening in a book, I am such a savage. I DNF books left and right. In the first few, if I can't get into in the first few chapters, I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to continue. That's why Leigh Bardugo and me are not friends. People are like, you have to give her a chance. Read through chapter. I'm like, I am not going to read 10 chapters to invest. I don't have that kind of time. No. And so
you're missing out on a great series, Abel, because of your rashness. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I just, if nothing is happening, or like if I don't care, I'm just like, I'm not gonna, I won't continue reading it. So yeah, I don't get through books like that.
I'm gonna say, I don't know.
I know what book you're thinking of, Julie, because we just talked about it.
It was so bad. It wasn't so bad. It was beautifully written. But here's the thing. Like, I feel like she 100% plotted that book. Like, I feel like she knew exactly what she wanted that book to be. And it has a genre. It has a market. And it's just not me. So I think that a lot of the times when nothing happens, it's either by design or, yes, I think they didn't put enough time into the, like, actual plotting. Because I think it's very, very easy when you haven't plotted out conflicts and like rise and fall and like resolution and things like that. If you haven't thought about that before you start writing and ways to build momentum and then have resting points within a story, it's very easy to just be like, everything's fine, everything's great, nothing's wrong, everything's okay. You know, and you just kind of coast and you reach a word count and you go, great, fantastic, done. And then you look back and you're like, oh, wait, no, nothing happened. I just literally cataloged what they had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and nothing actually happened that day. Does that day need to be in the story? No, but it's there now. I'm going to leave it. Like, probably not the day you need to catalog in the book. Like, skip it. Move on to a new one. And I don't know why that is. I think some authors just naturally have that slower pace, and that's fine. But I mean, it's not fine.
Those books apart, I swear.
There's a market for it. I'm not that market, but I don't know that I could chalk it up to necessarily plotting versus pantsing. I think it may just be a writing choice. Like, that just might be how they write, but who knows?
Yeah, because I have found myself in my writing sometimes getting too involved in the mundane when I'm pantsing, because I don't know what's going to happen. So I'll write, oh, they went over here and they took a shower and they changed and they did this and they walked over here. And I think that's because I don't know what's going to happen next. And so I'm just like, well, let's just figure out where they're moving to. Fill space. Readers don't need, readers don't need to read that. We know that they're going to get up, take a shower, and get dressed if they're walking out the door with clothes on. We understood that that had to happen. So, I think that it would help me in my writing to plot it out better to make sure that things actually happen and things are getting built up in the correct pacing, you know.
What I've started
And that's one of those show don't tell things too. Like you can show that they're walking out the door dressed with wet hair, and then it's assumed they showered, brushed their teeth, got dressed, you know, like, you know, it's in one sentence instead of going through like picking out my wardrobe, you know, like da 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 da. Like there's ways around it.
What I've started to do also is like when I feel like something, when I don't know what's going to happen next, I have done very mundane things like Amber said, like they're going to take a shower. But like while they're showering, I make something happen. I'm like, okay, they're going to get a text message that leads to the next thing. Or they're going to get a phone call and she's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed this call. What's happening? Or she's about to get in the shower and she discovers something about herself when she's looking in the mirror. And that leads to this next thing. So I add little things like that, like in the mundane things, you know, like I'm, you know, when I'm talking about she's resting in her room or whatever, she gets this phone call that all of a sudden changes and she has to get up and get dressed and head out the door right now. And that leads to the next thing, you know. So I've added small things like that where the mundane situations are they're having breakfast and all of a sudden, you know, the head of security walks in and holy shit, everybody has to head to the basement. You know, I just added things that, and that I've used those points, I like pivot points. Like, I don't know exactly where this story, where it's going to go in the story, where it's going to fit in, but I need something to happen now. And so while I'm giving the mundane, I'm using it to pivot. You know, I'm like, I'm going this way, and I don't know what's going to happen. So you know what? Hold on. Let's go this way real quick. And so that's what I kind of use those mundane moments for now.
And I think I've sometimes used them too, like, especially, I feel like all of my characters do, like, thinking in the shower. I feel like the shower is my thinking place. So that's one of the ways you see me reflected in my characters. It's like, that's kind of where they'll, like, sit down and be like, holy shit, that was a day, you know? Like, and you kind of get a little bit maybe of, like, inner monologue while they're doing that. Or you're getting family interaction and family dynamic at the dinner table, you know? Like, so if I am showing those things, there's still a reason for it. Otherwise, they get skipped because you know they get done, you know?
Yeah. And so one thing that I was curious about is, do you think it's important for authors, whether they're traditionally published or self-published, to talk about if they're a plotter versus a pantser? Because I know that for me, being a pantser, you sometimes get discouraged by how meandering your stories can become. But then when you hear about when somebody like Lainey Taylor is a pantser, it suddenly makes you feel a lot better about your own writing. Like, if she can do it, obviously it's doable. So do you think it's important to hear that from your favorite authors?
I think anytime you see yourself and your habits reflected in authors that you admire, it's always really, really cool. For me, I follow a ton of different authors, and I love seeing them through the plotting, like, phase. Like, you'll see like Amy Kaufman with like sticky notes all over her table, or you'll see Victoria Abelard drawing her maps, or you'll see different people in their editing phase going through line edits and how that looks for them. And I think that that's always really exciting. I think, like, by far, like, go follow a ton of authors, because you'll get great recommendations, great tips, great books to use, great resources. In terms of plotting versus pantsing, I haven't really kind of found any author that spoke about it that way that really seriously impacted me, because I feel like I found what works best for me, and the validation from an outside source that, like, it's a valid writing choice doesn't seem necessary, just because regardless of what anybody else does, like, I'm not a true either way, like, I'm kind of a mixture, so I'm not really, like, looking for that. But if you're a true hardcore pantser, like, hell yeah, knowing that Lainey Taylor does that is really, really cool to know. Because you get a ton of authors on the other side that show you they're, like, full-blown plotting. So
yeah, like you said, Victoria Abelard, her maps are so deep. I'm like, holy shit, I could never do that. Like, could never. Also, people like J.K. Rowling and Cassandra Clare, who they know every family's ancestry. They know what their great uncle's second brother did, and they know what they look like and what they did for a living and how they impacted the story. Like, that sometimes also is intimidating to someone like me. Like, you know, everyone knows I'm Cassandra Clare trash. And, like, she knows, and she gets it. She's admitted it from J.K. Rowling that every character, you know, she knows their entire family history. She can tell you what so-and-so's third, fourth, fifth cousin did back in 1500, you know, I don't know what. But I'm like, that's kind of when I find that they're plotting that deep. That's a form of plotting, because it's not, they're not using, mm-hmm. really using that in all the stories. But that form of plotting sometimes intimidates me. I'm like, oh, I'll never be like that. I can't ever picture myself caring enough to do... to go back to someone's sixth cousin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't really care about your sixth cousin, honey. I'm just caring about you right now. You're my main character. I don't really care about your grandma. Like, you know, like, I'm just...
Grandma's important.
Yeah, I know. But, like, your grandma's grandma's grandma. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just... It's intimidating to find out they plot that much.
So... A little bit of an unpopular opinion theory with me with what you just said is I don't think J.K. Rowling actually has all of that plotted out. I think when she's asked those questions, she pulls that shit out of her ass to sound like she knows what she's talking about. That's what I think, because I have heard her contradict herself in so many interviews that I think she's just like, oh, yeah, his second cousin was an astronomer that, you know, anybody can do that. I don't really think she knows that deep. I know that she plots very, like, she does plot a lot, but a lot of that, she just wants to shut us up and get us to quit asking about Harry Potter, I think. So that's my little bit of unpopular opinion / theory, you know.
I do think, though, that when you're a plotter, at least for me as a plotter, and even for maybe all of us as people that at least plot out characters, like do character mapping, there's always going to be stuff that you as an author know that never makes it to the page, but it may influence the way your character behaves. Like, I know things about my character that will never end up in the book, but it influences in one way or another who she is as a person and some of her characteristics or mannerisms or decision making. And for me, those things are still important for me to know on the back end in my character sheets, whether or not they ever make it to canon on the page. They still influence who they are as a person. So some of that, I think to a certain degree, have some backstory on the plot. You know, like if I'm doing something and it's an Irish fae story, you know, then I'm going to need to know a little bit of background on Ireland. Do I necessarily put all that onto the page and prove that I did my research? No, but you have to know it to go into it, you know? So, for me, like, maybe don't dive that deep, but okay. you have to know some of it, you know? Like, I do think that some of that is important to know.
I was going to say, like, with Cassandra Clare, for instance, she, when she talks about all the different families, it is very, I can tell that she knows them because their family traits go live on. So when you hear of a Lightwood, you know exactly how they're going to act. You're going to know their traits passed down generation to generation. You know, mm-hmm. Herondales, you know that they're proud and you know that they're this and that, you know. And she has like this, just like this list of families that there's a trait. And whenever you read about them, you're like, oh my God, like it feels like she plotted out so long ago, because you'll see her doing an interview talking about the Herondales, and then here you are reading the book and you're smiling because she gave you that little tidbit, you know, 3 years ago in another book, because that's what his family did. I don't know. That's why whenever you say like J.K. Rowling, she pulls that out of nowhere. I feel like maybe, but at the same time, I feel like I don't know, because she, I don't know. I feel like there's just, that's a lot of, I feel like they plotted everything and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of theories about J.K. Rowling. That's not the only one, so yeah. But
we'll do a live show for
a live show about J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, just author conspiracy theories in general.
But that's really all I had. I wanted to just kind of talk about what you guys thought, which was better. Do you want to add anything else on the topic?
Yeah. Really quickly, I want to talk about the phase of plotting, because you know that's my jam. I want to see if you guys ever use Pinterest boards or aesthetic boards or vision boards or something like that, not just for characters, but for setting or for your book or the vibe of your book in general, because it's something that I've been recently obsessed with, and I think it fits really well into this category instead of being its own category. So do either one of you use like a Pinterest board or like character setting kind of boards where you do like pictures and stuff to kind of get your vibe going?
I really don't. I just recently started, like I told you all before, for the characters. I use pictures, but what I just started using was movie score music. So the scores for different movies, like having that, because I can't have music with words on, because I'll catch myself singing along, even plotting, panting, whatever. But not necessarily pictures, but scores to different movies that I use that, not really pictures, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never did until you pointed me to Shay Earnshaw's Pinterest boards, and now I'm obsessed with creating Pinterest boards for the atmosphere, not necessarily for the characters or anything, but just the atmosphere, so that I can feel, I can go on there and feel like this is what it's supposed to feel like. And so when I look at it when I'm writing, it does actually make a difference. And I'm sad I never did that before, but now I'm obsessed with the Pinterest boards. Oh my God.
I think it's the coolest thing. And as somebody who used to do like visual prompts, I don't know why I didn't think of it either, but I have it broken down for like each book. And then I have like because you have kind of like folders on Pinterest. So I have like a folder for characters, a folder for setting, and a folder for like vibe or aesthetic for like the overall feeling of the book. And I really encourage like authors that are maybe struggling to full-blown plot, like if you don't think you can be a plotter but you want to have a better general idea of your character, setting, or story, and you don't want to sit down and like make actual writing notes, try to do something visual like that, especially if you're a visually like influenced person, because it can be so cool. Like a shit, you'll never get writing done because all you'll want to do is create these Pinterest boards. But I think it's a great tool if you ever get stuck, or if you ever like aren't sure exactly what this house should look like, or how to like kind of write around a certain environment. It can be such a viable tool for plotting in a fun way, like in a way that you could kind of get behind if you're not a true plotter.
Yeah, and I think it's also cool to go and find authors that have, because a lot of authors do have Pinterest boards, and after their book comes out, they'll make them public. And to go and, if you really like the book and seeing kind of their inspiration, and you could totally pinpoint pieces of it in their story, it's actually really cool.
Yeah.
And it adds to the story a lot, I think.
I agree. I mean, all of mine for my works in progress are private, but once they go, like once the book's published, I would totally make them public. And I think that's a really cool addition to the, you know, behind the scenes kind of look at how writers work. So maybe that's one thing that you could try if you're not a true plotter, but you want to have a better, yeah, better gist of your book before you start.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Julie. Is there anything you wanted to add, Abel?
No, just hopefully one day I'll be a plotter when I grow up. I don't know.
Well, I'll show you my ways. I mean, that's the thing, too. If it truly doesn't work for you, don't try to put yourself into a box that may not help. It may not help you.
I know? Actually do. I do have one thing. Here in the near future, just a few weeks after this comes out, we are going to have a live show where we will live plan or plot out / outline a book from scratch. And yeah, so stay tuned.
I can do it.
Stay tuned.
We can do it.
Stay tuned for that. As we get closer to it, we'll make more announcements. But that's just a few weeks away from now, so might as well just bring that up. That's it.
I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna force you guys to plot.
Oh. Oh gosh.
I expect a lot of bitching from this one, okay?
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for this episode, guys. Our next episode, we are going to be talking about writing applications like Scrivener, Word, Google Doc, and the pros and cons, and that will be moderated by Julie. So yeah, we will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks, and have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to The Writer's Block. We hope you'll join us for our next show. And until then, remember, it's perfectly okay to write garbage, as long as you edit brilliantly.